Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The portion of Scripture which is set before us for our consideration this morning is from the first epistle of John, the fourth chapter, and my comments will be based on the first to the 11th verses, verses 4 to 11, were just read from the lectern. On the basis of 1 John chapter 4, I want to speak to you on the theme, the world, the church, and the Christian. Christians live and operate in two realms, the society of the unregenerate church and the society of the unregenerate world and the society of the regenerate church. In reference to the world, the Christians are in it, but not of it. In reference to the church, the Christians are both in it and by reason of their spiritual birth, of it. 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 6, speak of the Christian in the world. Verses 7 to 11, as a matter of fact, verses 7 all the way to the end of the chapter, verse 21, speak of the Christian in the church. According to our text, we need directions from an apostle to know how to live as Christians in both realms, in the world and in the church. In the world, we are involved in a conflict between two opposing spirits, the spirit of the world and the spirit of God, also referred to in our text as the spirit of error and the spirit of truth. In the church, however, we are committed to the love of the brethren. Our text discusses both realms, the world and the church, in terms of and in reference to the incarnation of our Lord. We look first at the Apostle John's description of the Christian in the world. The basic challenge faced by the Christian in the world is to distinguish between the spirit whose origin is of God and the spirit whose origin is of the world. Our text begins with this verse, 1 John 4, verse 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test, try, prove the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. The Spirit of God is the Spirit which motivates the true teachers of the church. These proclaim Christ as having come in the flesh. The Spirit of the world is the Spirit that motivates the false teachers in the world who deny that the eternal Word of God became flesh. These latter are appropriately labeled by the Apostle John as Antichrist. The challenge faced by the Christian in the world is pressing. It's pressing because there are so many false teachers that have gone out into the world. Look about you. You find that the true teachings of the church are outnumbered by the many false teachings of the world. The Christian finds his only comfort in the knowledge that greater is he, is that spirit which is of God, than the spirit which is of the world. The difference between the Christian and the world is not the power of numbers. It's the power of the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. But how can the Christian test or prove the spirits, whether they be of the world or whether they be of God? John gives us a very simple answer. He says to us, by this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you have heard that it is coming. and is already in the world. The spirits, like the Christians, are identified by their confession. The spirits sent by God confess the Son sent by God. The spirits of the world confess not, or they deny the Son sent by God. Now, the basic thrust of these first six verses in John, 1 John chapter 4, is that Christians must contend for the truth of the gospel against the opposition they find in the world. The word of Christ must be sent forth, and the word of Christ must be set forth against the word of the Antichrist in this world. The encouragement to do so is the basic theme for this 18th week in the Pentecost season. 1 John chapter 5, the end of verse 4. Our faith is the victory that overcomes the world. God's word stands not only against, but also stands victoriously over the wisdom of the world, which confesses not that Jesus is the Christ come in the flesh. But why is it in verse 7 of our text and to the end of chapter 4, there is a marked and sudden shift in emphasis away from the Christians' conflict in the world and to the Christians' conduct in the church? Could the reason be that the attitude of contention and conflict required of the Christian as he opposes the world works its way into the Christian's relationship in the church? We all know how easy it is to bring the conflicts which Christians have in the world into the church. I'm not thinking now just of false teachings in the world, which also from time to time infiltrate the church. Apostasy and heresy is simply another version of the worldly conflict which the true church must engage in continually. Only this time, it's in-house. I'm thinking rather of the mood brought on by Christian opposition to the world, which may also set the Christian against a Christian. We are to a great degree programmed by the world in which we do battle. How easy the doctrinal concerns of the Christian in the world can shift into personal animosities among the brethren. Therefore, the admonition of John in verse 7, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God." This is the verse that sets the agenda for the rest of the chapter. And with apostolic wisdom, John concentrates in this chapter on the incarnation of Christ in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, both in reference to the world and in reference to the church. The church proclaims the gospel of the incarnate Jesus as Christ. The world rejects this gospel. Also, the very basis upon which the love of the brethren is called forth by John and is built and is set is the foundation of the incarnation of our Lord. Listen again to our text. "By this the love of God was manifested in us, that God sent his Son, his only begotten Son, into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." The conclusion John draws from this fact is that if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. If we love one another, God's love is perfected in us. So then, every Christian is called by the Apostle John to contend with the anti-Christian spirits in the world. And every Christian is called also to love the brethren who are not of the world, but in the church. And there are no exceptions There are no exemptions. There are no qualifications from these apostolic charges. Christians are called by God to live and to operate simultaneously in two realms, the fallen world of the anti-Christian spirit and anti-Christian teachers, and the redeemed society of the Christian church. Praise God for John the Apostle, who sets straight the record of what is expected of Christians in both realms, in the world and in the church. In the world, we ought to contend earnestly for the faith once forever delivered to the saints. But let us not contend with the saints, who are once and forever delivered through their faith in the blood of Jesus Christ from sin and set in to the blood-bought church of Jesus Christ. The golden coin of divine revelation, minted by the Apostle John, has two sides. One side reads simply, "Love not the world, neither the things in the world." The other side reads simply, "Love the church and your brethren in the church." So reads our inspired text. Let us pray that God would give us ears to hear what the Spirit says to the church. Amen.